You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two underway here on the Rodo Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. There's another... What's wrong, Scott?
No, I'm just... looking at some of the morning injuries and, like, you know, we talk about the Colts and all the issues. For them to lose Ryan Kelly for a few weeks that's not good.
No, the offensive line is a major issue.
That's, you know, Pym and Muhart are like two of their best guys there. You know, he had a really good season last year. That's not good.
No, it's not. Yeah. Let's have the New England-Jacksonville game here for a moment because I took a couple of things away from this. Belichick loves playing with fire, which is why he had his backup quarterback in there for three quarters last night, Jimmy Garoppolo. Deion Lewis played a lot last night, which, again, tells me that I feel like Deion Lewis is fighting for a job. Because if he had his job super secure and he was locked into his role, he would be sitting pretty with James White on the sidelines. He was not. He was active. He was involved. I'm worried about Deion Lewis' roster spot, which means if you're drafting James White, you're in a good spot.
Yeah, you got to look at a situation like that. There's no reason for Deion Lewis, who stay hurt anyway, to be out there playing this long in a preseason game. So definitely, that's a sign that he has something to prove right now. He has something to play for. He very well could be on the roster bubble. So this is a situation we're going to have to keep an eye on. In a 16-round draft, there's no reason to touch him right now.
Yeah, no, look, it's James White should have that role. He, I think, you know, going into the season. But Deion Lewis is very talented. And I agree. Look, we've heard things that his spot. But I think the price that he has, I don't think he's that expensive. So I don't see the Patriots just cutting a talent like this.
Yeah, you know, I ultimately, it comes down to, it's funny, for the Patriots, roster construction, right? Like, it's how many running backs will they take forward with them? You know, Burkhead's not going anywhere. You know, Gillislee isn't going anywhere. You know, James White isn't going anywhere. And given his special teams prowess, I don't think Brandon Bolden's going anywhere either. So,
yeah, where does he fit?
Is there another spot?
Yeah.
Is there another spot for Deion Lewis ultimately on this Patriots team? I think that's what we have to find out. None of the receivers really played last night, so nothing there. Of course, Tom Brady didn't play last night either. It was Jacoby Brissett playing the one quarter that Jimmy Garoppolo did not. Gronk's little brother Glenn Gronkowski, though, caught a pass.
Yeah, how about that? But the whole Deion Lewis thing is. You know, but he is talent, but, you know, you only got so many roster spots.
Like I said, roster.
Give the guy an opportunity to play somewhere else.
Well, maybe. They don't think they care about opportunities. They care about making their team the best. So we'll see what that happens with Deion Lewis. We're going to come back. We're going to stick with this game because I got to ask the guys about Leonard Fournette and what they thought of his performance last night against the Patriots. Stick around. We're the Experts in the Morning. Continues on right after this.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
So Leonard Fournette did not get the start in Jacksonville in the first preseason game. That went to Chris Ivory, but that was a nominal start for the veteran, as I think if he happens to get the first snap in week one, will also be a nominal start. Because this is Leonard Fournette's backfield. And Leonard Fournette last evening. 9 carries, 31 yards, and he had a touchdown. They gave it to him at the goal line. I know Ivory wasn't playing anymore because he was with the starters, but Leonard Fournette did get that touchdown. And I thought, overall, he looked pretty good, Scott Engel.
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty good, too. And, you know, that line is still, you know, working through some injury issues, you know, with Brandon Albert now not going to play. Cam Robinson's going to have to play on the outside, and they're going to slide somebody over at guard. And, you know, the concern was, you know, this guy, you know, busted through a lot of big open holes in college. But, you know, when you watch him run last night, there was one run near the goal line where he just didn't have the blocking, but the tenacity just kept going. The legs kept churning and stuff like that. This kid's very determined. You know, he looked pretty good last night.
I think he's better than somebody who was just running through open holes. I mean, this was a dynamic talent in
Oh, yeah, he's dynamic, but I'm just saying the blocking was so good in college. It's like,
yeah, he's going to run people over, too. It's going to be it's gonna be tough to take Big Leonard down. Yeah. Look, he doesn't have, I don't know, I heard the other day, I'm not going to name names, people were saying, like, Zeke, they were trying to compare that situation.
No, he's not that.
It's not. And he doesn't have that line and all that stuff neither. But this is a guy that has the opportunity, the volume should be there, tremendous talent. So that's why I'm high on Fournette in the situation that he's in.
But see, here's the thing, though. When it comes to pulling it, when you get on the clock and it comes to hit and select, can you do it with him as your RB1?
Well, I mean, pretty much for me, it would have to be, if I do take him, most likely he's going to be my RB1. Because if I do go with a running back, say like late in the first round, if I went McCoy, Gordon, or Freeman, I don't see myself going back running back in that second round. I really don't see that happening. But if I go receiver and I wanted to start with him, I could do it, but I like that third round right now of running back.
So, we're not going to be in that third round, so you're not really going to think
He has fallen into that. I mean, I've seen it in the third round.
Scott, RB1 for you?
Not quite, but let me ask you this.
I would start, if in the third round, I had my two receivers.
And he's there in the third, you would start with him. Okay.
Let me ask you this. I'm not necessarily saying it's going to be the case, but does it concern you all that this team, especially with Blake Bortles at quarterback, falls behind a lot? He gets lost in the game strip. They put in T.J. Yeldon. You know, how much does that concern you?
Before you answer that question, let me explain to you this. The Jacksonville Jaguars had 55 plays run last night. How many times do you think they ran the ball? Because it goes along with Scott's question.
28
out of 55. Corey? Corey?
Concussion. That's my second one this week. How many times did they do what?
Run the ball, the Jaguars.
Probably
37 times.
Wow,
they ran
the ball
last
37
night.
Times.
They only threw the ball 18 times. So, Scott, he's right. The Jaguars will probably be down. But they have made it a point to say, we are going to run the football. We want Blake Bortles to throw zero times. They ran the ball out of 55 plays 37 times last night.
What you going to do with Allen Robinson?
Yeah, well, the thing, too, here is, look, they are committed to the run. But also, I thought last season everybody was a little too high on the Jacksonville defense. I think they needed that year to mesh, come together. They even went out and made even better acquisition in free agency. So I think the defense is going to be better. I am not a Blake Bortles guy at all. I think he's a detriment to that team. But I'm going to look at it that this guy is going to get the volume, the opportunities. He's going to be the goal line back. I ain't buying that Chris Ivory's coming in to take this guy and they're taking him out. So for that, and the other question is, in that third round, I've seen Todd Gurley fall into the third round. He's in a terrible situation, too. So, I mean, it's going to come between those guys.
I would say Gurley over Fournette.
I have them neck and neck.
I have them back to back, Gurley and Fournette. I answered this question for you yesterday, Corey. That for me, I will take wide receiver, and have Fournette as my RB1.
In the third, though.
In the third, correct. I don't have a problem doing that.
See, I don't think he has a third round ADP though.
He does, I believe. I'll go to Fantasy Pros right now.
I understand. Okay.
So according to Fantasy Pros, Leonard Fournette's ADP, Leonard Fournette's ADP currently is number. Well, you know, let me go to PPR. His ADP sits at number 23.
So he's in the second round.
Todd Gurley is 21.
I'm looking here too. Gurley is basically 22. Fournette is 23. The maximum pick is 34.
All right, so I go
That's
around
NFFC,
the room.
Right?
So I go around the room. Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette. You comfortable?
I could do that. Yes.
Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette.
I think I can do it.
This guy had to think
Ultimately,
about it.
I had to think about it, but I can do it.
Greg, Antonio Brown, Leonard Fournette.
Zero issue for me. No question. I'll do that.
No, I mean, I'm not doing that. I'm not starting with Leonard Fournette as my running back one.
I personally would go Antonio Brown. Like if Cooks is there or somebody of that caliber, and in the third round, if it was a Mixon or a Cook that I had to settle on, I'm totally fine with
somebody
that.
Really
I like that better.
Somebody actually. Really like in
or
the
even McCaffrey
in the industry. I know you've talked about him, Corey. Chris Raven, and Raven was asked yesterday. You mentioned Gurley. He was asked yesterday about Todd Gurley rebounding in LA after disappointing everybody last year. He said, "Can he have a renaissance?" The question was asked, "Can he have a bit of a renaissance and be more of what he was in his rookie year?" Raven said, "Absolutely. McVay isn't going to squander Gurley." As in Sean McVay, the head coach in Los Angeles. Sean McVay isn't going to squander Gurley like the Fisher regime. I think McVay also will help Goff considerably.
Foolishness Fisher, you know, he's gone, so.
I also do want to say.
Foolishness Fisher, I like that.
He was asked, are you liking either Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp as a late round pick? Chris Raven responded, Kupp, Robert won't, in my opinion.
And then he put. Buy jersey before they sell out.
And then he wrote, hashtag,
I want credit for that.
Then he wrote, hashtag HOF.
I honestly, I'm rooting for Kupp to put like 1,000 yards or like 7 touchdowns.
I am too.
We're going to march the king down 35th Street. You know, it'll be great.
Well, you know, I think all but 2 games, so.
Against
Seattle, I don't want to see him do anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
The last piece of information here from last night is you actually mentioned yourself, Matt, that Sammy Watkins not only played, but looked pretty good.
Yes, I have. It was airing on NFL Network at 4 a.m. this morning. I'm taping it. When I go home, I will
don't
watch
tell
it.
Anyone what happened.
Don't tell me what happened, though. But what I was able to, you know, read, I didn't see any extensive highlights or any of the game, but what I was able to read was that he was pretty dominant, separation. I know, look, it's week one preseason, but coming off of what was last season and his attitude all camp, even when he rolled the ankle, these are very, very positive signs. I know Dr. A was on yesterday with us. And was throwing the water, which I respect. That is something that we cannot deny, but we can't deny the talent, the wealth of targets that is just there for him. He could be a monster.
He has the ability to do so. Sammy Watkins, I'm not moving him anywhere in my rankings after last night. You know, I feel comfortable ultimately where I have him, which at this moment sits at number 16. I feel comfortable with him there. But, you know, it's good to see him stay healthy, which is the most part. And considering how much they played him last night, you'll see when you watch the game back, I think they feel comfortable as well.
Yeah, well, it's just a positive takeaway. I'll say that. I'm not going to, you know, everybody knows how I feel. So
You're not going to go any further than that. Dalvin Cook, as I said, in that same game, Cook was given the first 3 plays.
This is what I want to talk about. This right here. They were featuring this dude.
That's correct.
This guy's going to start moving up draft boards. Mm-hmm. He's going to pop. And you know what? Now we're talking about somebody that can be the rookie of the year. They were featuring him. They were giving him the football out the backfield in the running game. They were throwing the football to him. He is going to be a bell cow running back,
correct.
Dalvin Cook. No doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. He's a possible RB1. As a running back, you can start with, like, you know what I'm saying? I won't be surprised. Right now, he's in the 4th round. He'll be in the 3rd round this weekend. He might be in the 2nd round next weekend.
All right, 2 things, and I just want to throw this out here, and I just want to get your opinion on it. I'm not saying necessarily that I believe in this. You saw him featured last night, but what about when Murray's ready to play again? How much does Murray get in there?
I'm not even...
Vulture goal line carries, et cetera.
I am...
We're excited about last night, but, you know, there was no Murray last night.
And ain't ever going to be no Murray. It's over.
I don't think it's over, but I'm with Corey. Like, in the 3rd round, if he's my starting running back, I'm fine with it. And I do believe Murray will get some touchdowns, and he'll have some rushes. You know, he's not going to be on the sidelines never to see the field, But Cook is another guy, like I said, coming before the combine, I thought he was going to be like the seventh pick overall.
He's going to be featured, I'm telling you.
I think he's a guy outside the 20s, and
Murray's
going to be
the goal line. You
want to
get involved with Dalvin Cook.
I'll take Dalvin Cook. As I said at the top of the show, I've had him above Joe Mixon. I will continue to have him above Joe Mixon. I feel very comfortable with Dalvin Cook. When we come back, we'll begin our mini mock here on the Roto-X for the morning.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
I'll tell you one guy that probably will not be a threat to Dalvin Cook for carries in Minnesota.
Latavius Murray.
It's my man, Bishop Sankey.
He's out for the year. Man.
Poor Bishop hurt his right knee yesterday, and will have an MRI today to determine the damage.
I saw a report this morning that he was already done for the season.
Well, that's interesting because he hasn't even had an MRI yet. So, yeah. You know, that's
we'll see. But, you know, last thing with Dalvin Cook, though, is like, the thing that I was impressed is that, you know, the offensive line in Minnesota didn't look too good last night, didn't give him a lot of openings. But that's okay when you're a talented back like that, because running backs will start to chip away. You'll see this throughout the course of a game where a running back might not look like he's getting a lot of yards, but then he'll go back into the huddle and he'll say, I see something there. And you know, it's a good running back will do. And it'll just blast a long run or have a long gain. Because even though certain running backs are not getting a lot of yardage over the course early in the game, they're also trying to figure out, you know, where they can, you know, gain yardage later in the game throughout the flow. And Cook also caught passes out of the backfield last night, which was encouraging as well.
Yeah, he certainly did. And Dalvin Cook was very involved in the offense, and as we all said, that ADP obviously is going to climb.
Yeah, he's I'm gonna look at the rankings because he's got some bell cow to him. You know what I'm saying? He has to be moved above Joe. I mean I say he has to. Then Scott get all mad. In my opinion, he needs to be ranked higher than Joe Mixon right now. The young man Dalvin Cook, he's the real deal. Speaking of Joe Mixon, here we go with this Jeremy Hill stuff.
Yeah, there was a report.
Let me tell you something. You got two beat writers saying it right now. I'm sorry. We're going to have to watch the situation with Joe Mixon. Is Joe Mixon good enough to where he can get 12 to 15 touches a game and bring you back top 24 running back value week in and week out?
I think so. And I think.
Or you're going to draft him like that, though?
Where he's going, like I said, if I got to take him in the mid to late third round, I'll take him.
You'll take him in the third round.
I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. I'm not worried about Jeremy Hill.
Scared money don't make money.
But you're talking 12 to 15 touches for a third round draft pick.
Okay, they're saying Jeremy Hill is going to start. Jeremy Hill a couple months ago was going to be cut. I understand right now he's going to start. What has Jeremy Hill done?
Nothing.
I'm
looking at his last 31 starts. The only time he's played well is against the Browns, and the Browns even have a better defense this year. They used to have much faster athletes and stuff like that. I ain't buying it, and I think this kid could. You could make the argument he was the best running back in the draft last season. When I hear Andy Dalton say that when Joe Mixon's on the field, we're a better team because they don't know if we're going to pass or run. Jake makes the point, but Jeremy Hill's saying that it's pretty much Jeremy Hill. Joe Mixon is the guy, so I'm gonna go on that basis. Let his ADP fall. I mean, his ADP has basically been 38 or 39 in best ball and non-best ball in the high stakes arena. So at that price, I'm in.
Currently on Fantasy Pros, Joe Mixon sits at number 40.
But I mean, I agree with Corey. I mean, I got Cook right there. I took Cook last Thursday night in a league when I had the option of both. He does have the clear path. Everything points to him. So, I mean, is Cook above him? Probably right now. So, but either, if I get either one, that's why. If I can start two wide receivers and a Cook or a Mixon or McCaffrey, I'm in.
Corey's often of the opinion that talent is going to win out. And Lindy's Pro Football, like, you know, was talking to a bunch of scouts who agreed to talk to them as long as they weren't, you know, the names weren't used. One of the scouts said that Joe Mixon is the best pure running back in this class and that he could be the next Adrian Peterson. And you hear that about Fournette a lot.
All right, so here's the thing. I get it. I'm a Mixon guy, too. My thing is, where do you draft him at this weekend? People are going to be drinking beer, eating chicken wings, doing drafts. Draft mates is going to be out putting stickers on the board. You feel what I'm saying? Where you drafting Joe Mixon at this weekend? Because is somebody in the league going to be like, you know what, I'm going to take him in the fourth? Or is somebody in the league going to be like Jake and be like, I'm going to take him in the second? Or are your league mates going to be scared off and do you get a buying opportunity? What I would do with Joe Mixon right now is I'm not really pulling the trigger before four because I don't think you have to.
You don't. And I know Jake has made the argument that, you know, you had to take him in the second. I've never seen him go in the second round. I've taken him in the middle of the third and beyond. I've seen him go in the fourth, the last couple of drafts I've done. But this is a really... Look, they paid up for the guy.
This, I mean, they brought a dude with a nasty domestic violence. Yes. That a video was out there.
Yes.
They brought him into the fold. So they're serious about how they plan on using him.
The Bengals, you know, have never, you know, shied away from
that. What he did was really horrific. I mean, really, it's besides like killing a person, it's really pretty bad to.
Yeah.
All right. Scott, hold on. So let me ask this. Joe Mixon or Marshawn Lynch?
Marshawn, this is a tough one right there. That's where it's at right there, Greg.
That's where the rubber meets the road.
I'm going to say, I say Joe Mixon right now.
I'm going to say Joe Mixon without hesitation.
I'm hesitant on it. You know what I'm saying? I'm hesitant on it. Scott, you doing it?
I'm going to say Mixon because I think more yards. No, I don't hate Lynch. I just don't. I wasn't as high as everybody was earlier in the preseason on him. I'll take Mixon. I think more yardage.
Here's my argument for Mixon. I'm going to play the long game of the season.
I get that.
And yeah, I think without a doubt,
this is going to be the guy. Is there anybody to be scared about? It would be like Gio Bernard in the pass catching role. I'm not worried about Jeremy Hill.
I see him playing a long game with Mixon. I get that, but the people that's listening, they drafting tomorrow. So what do they have to do? Well, you feel what I'm saying?
They're going to play the same. Look, they're going to play.
What's the draft capital for him right now? Is he a fourth round draft pick? Scott, you in the flex standing tomorrow? He's in the fourth round. You'll tell you he's in four. Will you take him?
Oh yeah.
If he's there in three, will you take him? 12-team redraft standard.
I'm eighth overall. I'm going to strongly consider because that's the back end of the round. Let me ask you this, though. You always say you like young running backs.
Yeah.
You like fresh legs.
I like touchdowns, too.
So why is the decision so close with Lynch? Lynch has a lot of carries. Lynch, he's 31
gonna,
years old,
Lynch going to score 10 to 12 touchdowns. That's why. And I put 10 to 12
Latavius
touchdowns
Murray
in my...
from last year. How much do you value Latavius Murray from last
Latavius
year?
Latavius Murray's trash.
But last year, did you think he was trash?
Oh, last year? No, yeah, I thought he was trash, but
so
he was going touchdowns.
So if those same numbers, did you like those kind of numbers that you got from Murray last year?
Yeah, I like what I got from Murray last year. I can do that as RB2, especially if you play 14 games.
Joe Mixon or Carlos Hyde?
Joe Mixon. That's what Matt said, the long game. Hyde not going to the fifth.
If it's Mixon Hyde for me, I'm happy with that.
Okay.
Maybe not a lot of people are.
You'll start with both of you. That'd be your starting crew. That's your starting crew, you can have Mixon and Carlos Hyde as your RB1 and RB2 on the same team.
I'll draft those two and then I'll probably back it up with, say, Ingram Hunt types in the next few rounds and stuff like that. I'm not worried about it.
I would be scared rolling that out there because you might have You might get 25 combined touches between your two running backs on a Sunday.
That's a possibility. I'm also going to have a ton of targets and stuff that with my wide receivers. I'm going to be stacked in that department if I was to go that route.
It depends on who you like. It's like I'm not a Hyde guy. It's like for me, if I'm with Corey. If I had Mixon and Hyde, I'd feel kind of uncomfortable.
Ian Rappaport just tweeted that when Ezekiel Elliott learns his fate, the expectation is that it includes discipline. The benchmark is 6 games. Could be fewer. Fine, possible too. That's what. I know they're not jumping out.
What are they
charging
him with, though? That's what I want to find out.
But here's the thing. Here's the color on it, though. He can appeal it, and he can fight this. So they say, like, 6 games. He can appeal it. He can fight it.
That 6 games, what?
I don't know.
What would he do?
Exactly.
What would he do to get 6 games?
He can fight it.
Yeah.
He can appeal it. He can keep playing.
I'm just saying, he says the benchmark is 6 games. We're not saying he's going to get 6 games. I'm thinking it's more in the 1 or 2.
What does he base that benchmark off of?
That's what I'm like to know. That's why this tweet is troubling to me.
But I've heard a couple of 6. I mean, 6 has been a number that's been out
that's
there.
That's crazy.
Hold on.
I would sue the NFL.
Wait a minute. You're saying it's crazy. You have no idea what he did. You have no idea.
There was a legal investigation into it. What did they find?
The Columbus Police Department was dropped.
They said nothing.
Ray Rice cold cocked the woman.
was on film.
He did. Just because it's not on film doesn't mean there may be another incident you have no idea about.
The authorities didn't find anything.
There may be another incident.
If that's a smoking gun, you know, they're pointing 6 games. Do they have something that the authorities didn't?
We're gonna find out when they make the announcement. They're gonna suspend him 6 games and not tell you they're spending him 4.
Right.
It's not gonna happen. So
he's not gonna get 6 games. If he gets 6 games, if he gets 6 games, I'm going to be a mad ass. I'm telling you. NFL offer is not too far from here. I'm going to go up there if he gets 6 games.
Let me ask you this, Corey. I'm going to feel pretty good.
What if it's 6 games and it's something that's like really not good that he did? You know, what are you going
to
do?
Take the NFL to court.
Let me ask the question again.
Yeah, that's what I said.
See, if it's 6 games and it comes out that Zeke did something like Greg points to that's really bad, that maybe he deserves a suspension for, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, then if he did something where he deserves it, then he you know what I mean? You got to face the facts.
Hold on. I'll tell you this. I wonder, I'm totally speculating. I have no idea. I wonder if there's a chance that they're suspending him 4 games for like a drug offense, like found marijuana. Let me speculate. One of those 4-year suspensions for marijuana type things where he failed a couple of tests, so he spent 4 games. And then the 2 games they're going to spend him for that domestic violence thing is like on top of the 4 games to make it 6.
I didn't know he had a drug thing. This is all speculation.
I'm totally speculating. Yeah. All I know is he was in the marijuana plant last year, right? Like, I'm wondering if he may have failed the test. I have no idea. Total speculation.
Legitimate.
We already know that that's 4 games. That's been told that is a thing. And then we already think that 1 or 2, if there's other stuff going on, that's how you get the 6.
Make the decision for the fantasy players.
Total speculation. But that's all we have right now is speculation. So we're going to do the mini mock when we come back, and we'll see where that speculation leads us when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott. Stick around. We'll go to Experts in the Morning up next.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
All right, here we go. We have a lot of rumors swirling when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott. But the number one question you as the fantasy owner is having is what do you do with that information? We're going to try to find out what these guys would do. If, listen, there's rumors out there. There's a chance. I know what E-Rapport's saying, but I'm waiting for the Schefter tweet to drop saying the suspension's not going to happen today, right? And it's just lingering for a major fantasy football draft weekend ahead. So, gentlemen, we're going to do a mini mock right now. We're going to find out where and if Ezekiel Elliott will go. The mini mock, two rounds between the four of us. And I want to kick it off with Matt Modica, number one. We'll just go around the table. A normal snake draft, so around the table, back and forth like that. Let's do it. Matt Modica, you have the number one pick.
Le'Veon Bell.
You'll take Le'Veon Bell. Why Le'Veon Bell over David Johnson?
I think he's the best player in the NFL, hands down. The one thing you could say, look, I love David Johnson. David Johnson saved my ass last year. Excuse my language. That slipped. But if you want to go Johnson for you, I'm fine with it. I think what Bell proved last season in the 12 games, I mean, what, he had five less receptions, more rushing yards. He's on a better offense, a better offensive line. I think he's the best player.
Le'Veon Bell is pretty consistently the number two overall pick. Mm-hmm. Scott, I know in the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package, which you can read right now by using promo code SUSMANIA when you go to rotoexperts.com/bigdeal, you wrote that Le'Veon Bell in your guide to the first round is your ideal number two pick. You believe that the man that led the NFL in touchdowns last year overall, David Johnson, he should be the number one pick. And Matt went a different direction.
Well, you know, it's not a crazy pick whatsoever. You know, he made an excellent point about how close the receptions were in just 12 games. I believe when Le'Veon Bell's on the field, he is the premier fantasy player in the game. But, you know, we've seen injuries over the years. We've seen off-field issues. We haven't seen anything major yet with David Johnson. It's less of a track record. But you're really splitting hairs here. David Johnson, no 20 touchdowns, though. 80 catches, the most dangerous player in the NFC from total scrimmage. None of these is the wrong pick. You know, but when you have to make a decision, you have to make a call. I have to say Johnson for those reasons. So I'm very comfortable with David Johnson at number two.
So you'll take David Johnson number two. And the top two are David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. There's not much really intrigue there. And Corey, given the situation that we are now in with Ezekiel Elliott, I feel like
Corey's three here. Yeah.
There's not. I want to know what you're going to do at number three.
I'm going to take Ezekiel Elliott.
So you're going to take Ezekiel Elliott number three right now.
It's not.
If this is real.
I thought you were going Brown in the PPR.
Wait a minute. If this is real, I want you to treat this as real because people want to know, in all honesty, Corey, what the fantasy executive would do if he had the number three pick. Like, not shtick, not a game. Right. I want to know what you honestly would do when you had money on the line tomorrow in flex or in the GST next week if you had the number three pick.
I got the number four pick next week.
Okay, so this is number three.
Number three in the PPR, I will take Antonio Brown.
Do you want to switch so you have number four?
Switch with me.
All right, so I'll be number three. I'm going to take Antonio Brown.
We made a trade.
We're swapping three and four for nothing.
Dave Richard would like this.
All right, I will take Antonio Brown with the third overall pick. I'm not messing with Ezekiel Elliott. Antonio Brown is the best wide receiver in the NFL. I'm taking Antonio Brown number three overall, which means number four is Corey Parson.
Well, okay, so what do we know?
We know that there's a chance that Ezekiel Elliott could be suspended. We know there's a chance it could be one or two games, because there's also a chance it could be six games.
It could be announced today, too.
Could be announced today.
It will be announced today.
But it might not be announced today. I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm waiting for the Schefter tweet to drop saying it will, contrary to popular belief, it will not be announced today. I am waiting for that to come out. So, Corey, you have the number four overall pick next week. What do you do if you draft today?
All right, if I'm drafting today, I'm taking Ezekiel Elliott at four. Because if this thing is, if it's a two-game suspension, you can get by that. Then you got a 1,700-yard running back on your hands in the PPR that's still going to catch 35 to 40 balls. They run the offense through them. This is not no average running back. This is like one of the best running backs that we've seen in this generation. We know what kind of talent Ezekiel Elliott is. Running behind that offensive line that they're saying looks better than it does last year. I'm doing it, Greg. Now,
it's better than last year. They've said it already.
They said it looks better than what they played last year.
Right.
I'm just telling you what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Right. Don't frown your face up at me, Giant fan. When you win the division, then come holler at me.
When you beat the Giants, come holler at me.
All right. So with that being said, I'm taking him. If they put him out there for six games, they're going to lawyer up and they're going to go to court and you're not going to get the suspension until next year.
Okay, so that's the point Corey makes, that ultimately, even if Zeke is suspended for six games, Corey believes that the appeal process will take so long and they'll sue the NFL and go back and forth that the Ezekiel Elliott suspension will not affect him this year. Again, this is all speculation. We have nothing yet, but Corey, who is a Dallas Cowboys fan and obviously is in tune to this really more than anybody, he believes Ezekiel Elliott is still safe to take at number four.
Still think he's safe to take.
Here's a point, too. When Le'Veon Bell got suspended, I do believe that it was a certain amount of games and he was able to lawyer it up. He was able to trim it.
So we will see. Yeah. You feel confident with him at four overall. I am up next because we traded for... You know what? You'll be up next. We swapped.
I'm on the turn.
You're on the turn because we swapped.
You took who you take?
I took Odell. I'm sorry. I took Antonio Brown. Sorry.
You took Antonio Brown?
Right. So you're on the turn. We swapped picks here.
All right. So you took Antonio
Brown.
You
have Zeke. This is number five now.
And then with the fifth pick, I'm going to go with... Odell Beckham.
It's like Odell
your
Beckham
favorite
Jr.
player and then your least favorite player.
So there you go. All right, so there you go. So Odell Beckham, the fifth overall pick. Was there anybody else in consideration at five for you, Corey?
AJ Green was in consideration at five.
AJ Green was in consideration at five.
AJ Green's in consideration at five. And Green's consideration at five. I'll leave it at that.
Guys, I do want to make clear. I don't want you to think, all right, I have a running back, I got to pair up with a wide receiver, because that's not real. That's not what's going to happen. I just want to know who you would take.
Well, it's almost like doing what people do online, the one-man mock draft, when you're putting yourself in every seat.
Correct.
This is the four-man mock draft, where we're just sitting in different seats.
Correct. I don't want to... Yeah. We're not making teams. We're trying to just place who would go where,
if
given the guys are off the board.
If I was in
the
spot, like Corey was just in number four, but now he's jumping into another chair.
We got it.
Exactly. So I just want to make that clear to everybody. So Odell Beckham in this one goes five. I will go next here, which means at six. For me, I'm going to select Julio Jones at six. I understand that there is certainly risk when it comes to that foot. I think Julio Jones is incredibly dynamic. We say it all the time. If he stays healthy, he's the number one wide receiver in football. I think he's healthy. I'm going to take Julio Jones at six. Although I did debate between a couple of players. I'll tell you about that. I'll say it now because I'm trying to be honest. I thought about Mike Evans. I have Julio Jones ranked a spot ahead of Mike Evans. So I consider that. And then I thought about the running backs, Devontae Freeman and LaShawn McCoy. Not sure who I would get on the way back. So that crossed my mind. Ultimately, I decided to go with Julio. So, number seven, Scott, you are up.
Yeah, here's the guy that I would probably take at number five. Mike Evans, like Matt was alluding to yesterday, having DeSean Jackson can only help him face less coverage. This team is going to aggressively push the ball down the field. The two best red zone receivers in the NFL, in my opinion, are Dez Bryant and Mike Evans. The touchdowns are going to be there. In my first round guide and exclusive edge package on rotoexperts.com, I have to split hairs between Odell and Evans, and I believe Odell's going to catch more passes. As much as I love Julio, it's not only the injuries, but it's been the lack of touchdowns as compared to other receivers like Odell and Mike Evans. Now, hopefully, Sarkisian will remedy that, but I have to see that first. Pound for pound, Julio Jones is probably the most talented wide receiver in the National Football League, but for fantasy purposes, I'm going to go a little bit safer with Mike Evans.
All right, so me and Mike Evans is dropping, gentlemen. Scott felt comfortable. I don't know why he's dropping, but Mike Evans goes at number seven. So there's still none of the running back stabs been taken yet, and all the top wide receivers have gone. Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, Mike Evans. And for many people, this is a tier of four. Matt, you are very comfortable in the eighth spot. This is your favorite spot. You have said it multiple times at this table. At number eight overall, given this is the board, it is very well likely could be the board that is in front of you. Mm-hmm. Who would you take at number eight?
Who day? Well, it's AJ Green, baby. Look, this guy was on. He was the leading guy when he went down last season. He is the Bengals' offense. Everything goes to him. He gets touchdowns. Hopefully, Eifert's healthy. That I think just helps. Dalton is, that's his guy. Everything is going to go through A.J. Green. He's Mr. He does need to stay on the field. That's the one con I will give to his game. Two out of the last three seasons has not played 16 games. But for me, it's a no-brainer here, A.J. Green.
AJ Green goes number 8. The only question, not that I question AJ Green the pick, but are you nervous about who you'd get on the other on the turn in this spot?
No, you know what? I'm really not. If I wanted to go with a running back, there might be one there for me out of, you know, say the Murray, Ajayi, Howard. One of those guys might be there.
Yep.
But there's also, it's a possibility I could pair this up with, say, Green and Dez. So I like that as well.
So you like that more. If,
you know, and there's other receivers I like too. So I'm comfortable here. What I'm going to get on the return and what I'll see in the third round.
All right, so that was the number 8 overall pick. Matt, you also have number 9. Who would you take?
Here, this is where it gets tough.
You like this spot too, though, you've said.
Yeah, this is where it gets tough. Jordy and Michael Thomas are right there for me. Maybe I go with McCoy's on the board as he is here. Maybe this is where I go McCoy, and then I get my wide receiver. It's going to be tough, though. I'll go a little different today. I'm going to go McCoy.
You're going to go with LeSean McCoy in this spot. Now, we've seen McCoy rise, as Corey has said yesterday, we saw him rise all the way to number 5.
He's a top 5 pick right now.
Well, he went number 9 here.
Yeah, no.
You had a top 5 pick. You chose not to take him.
Yeah, because he's not, you know, I like Melvin Gordon's my number 4 running back. Devonta Freeman's my 5. Shady, my 6. But I see it happening. Everybody else, you know, and I don't have a problem with it. But right now, Shady's a top 5 pick. So at 9, Shady's a steal.
We're going to pause the draft right now. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap up the first round, the first 12 picks on the other side. Scotty's on the clock with number 10 overall. These are the guys that are taking. We will see who you select when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Here at Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're doing a mini mock first round. We've gotten no word on Ezekiel Elliott. Corey selected him 4th overall. He felt comfortable there. Thus far, the first 9 picks are in. Le'Veon Bell went 1 to Matt Modica, who took Bell over Johnson. Then Johnson went 2. Antonio Brown goes 3. Ezekiel Elliott 4. Odell Beckham 5. Julio Jones 6. Mike Evans 7. Pretty standard. AJ Green 8. And then LeSean McCoy went 9 overall, which leaves the king out now.
That eight, nine, those two are going to jump up.
So where, though? Over who?
They're going to jump into... I think you're going to start seeing AJ Green go ahead of Odell Beckham.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. And I think you're going to start seeing LeSean McCoy go ahead of
Mike Evans,
and maybe Ezekiel Elliott, too.
I can see both of those things. I can't see A.J. Green over Odell, though. Odell's been healthy each of the last 3 years.
Yeah, but when A.J. Green is healthy, A.J. Green is going to put up more numbers than Odell.
I don't think so. I think it's close. But A.J. Green hasn't been healthy.
I like Odell better for touchdowns. A.J. Green's only been double figures once in his entire career for touchdowns.
Probably the last season he was healthy.
I think the last season he was healthy. I don't know if he hit the double figures, but... You know, there's not that injury concern with A.J. Green. I like A.J. Green, but against Odell Beckham, who's outside of Julio, maybe the most gifted wide receiver in the league, you know, plus A.J. Green, you know, sometimes he struggles with the double teaming, you know, when we're splitting hairs. I like A.J. Green a lot, but to me, Odell's just in a different rarefied tier.
All right, Scott, I need pick number 10, please.
Okay, pick number 10. It's tough for me, though, because, look, I like Jordy Nelson a lot. You point to me 32 years old. He's not old for a wide receiver. And last year, everybody talks about the red zone targets. This guy had, like, I believe he had 19 receptions of 20 or more yards last year. So the downfield ability is there and in a great offense. But when you're picking at number 10, you could still get a very good wide receiver on the turn. So I'm going to go Devonta Freeman because 27 total touchdowns in each of the past 2 years with 11 rushing scores in each campaign, 1,500-plus yards from scrimmage of each of the last 2 years. This is the guy who has replaced Jamaal Charles as the ideal running back in the NFL that can make the most of every touch, plays on a terrific offense. He's versatile. I'm very happy to go Devonta Freeman here.
So you go Devonta Freeman at 10 overall, leaving Jordy on the board, leaving Michael Thomas on the board, and bringing up Freeman to that 10 spot. I think it was an interesting choice. What do you think about that one, Corey?
Listen, we know what kind of player Devonta. He scored a touchdown last night.
They came in the game.
They went right down the field. And he scored a touchdown, just like that. And then they went in the sideline and they chilled. The Atlanta Falcons, they know how to do offense. So I'm not tripping off in Devonta Freeman. He plays. You don't have to worry about him injured. He's gonna catch the football. He's a piece. No issue whatsoever. I wish I had more shares of Freeman this year.
You're up at 11. Who would you take?
I'm up at 11 right now.
You wanted Freeman to be there. He's not. Who do you take at 11?
Melvin Gordon.
You take Melvin Gordon.
Give me the guy that's more than likely he's going to have the yards per carry will go up over 4. They might get close to 5 this year. He's playing in that good offense in Los Angeles with the Chargers. Young running back. You know how much I like them. He's going to be able to catch the football this year too. No worries next to the goal line. He don't even got nobody behind him. So Melvin Gordon, line him up.
It's interesting because now the running backs of McCoy, Gordon, and Freeman are all gone. So that leaves at 12 a very interesting spot because I don't really I like McMurray's next for me, but I feel like the value at 12 and 13, I'll make both picks now, at 12 and 13, it's very, very tough for me to leave not pair up Jordy Nelson and Michael Thomas together here. I just think like that talent is outstanding, and I'll figure the running back out, hopefully get maybe Dalvin Cook in the third round, something like that. So at 12 and 13, if this was me, I would take Jordy Nelson and I would take Michael Thomas. So that's what I'm going to do right now. There you go. Jordy Nelson, Michael Thomas. When we come back, we will get into the second round and see how we pair everybody up together. It's really interesting. So stick around. The Roto Experts in the Morning begin hour number 3 next.